Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
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 That translates to Welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Bonjour, bienvenue à la Citadelle de Birmingham. Hello, welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
Hello, and welcome to Birmingham Citadel.
I would certainly agree with the Sergeant Major in his announcements when he said that the last few days have been very cold. Certainly I felt the cold quite badly yesterday afternoon. Certainly my fingers, it just seemed to be, despite gloves on and everything else, it seemed to be freezing. And you know what, it reminded me of a time 20 years ago when I was stationed on the Southern DHQ. My quarters when I was on DHQ 20 years ago in Southern was in a little village just outside of Fareham, there on the south coast. And in the winter, it was really prone to cold nights because it was in the open countryside. It didn't benefit from the kind of shelter and insulation of being in a city. And one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I remember being awoken by the burglar alarm. And I jumped out of bed rather nervously. Startled and warily, I went downstairs to investigate. And sure enough, it was very clear there was no burglars. There was no sign of a break-in at all. So I attempted to try and reset the burglar alarm. I didn't want to cause my neighbours any more hassle than the fact that they'd already been woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I entered the code. Enter. Wouldn't turn off. Tried it again. Enter. 5 minutes I did this, and it's not turning off. Eventually, I got onto the phone to the support line, you know, these wonderful support lines that are written along the bottom. The support line consists of somebody who's on call who was actually in bed and who wasn't too happy that I'd woken him up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said to him what the problem was, and he said, it's probably not turning off because of the cold. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, it's likely that it's so cold outside that two parts of the metal in the sensor have contracted so much they've separated and the box thinks it's been tampered with by a burglar and cut off and therefore it will just continue ringing. What do you mean it'll continue ringing? Well, it'll turn off in 30 minutes. What? And sure enough, in 30 minutes... it actually turned off. I was so embarrassed. I was sat there in the house, and I was embarrassed. There was only me there. But I was wondering what on earth the neighbours were thinking. And for the rest of the night, I actually couldn't sleep, just in case it was going to happen again, every 20 minutes or so, and I would get a burglar alarm going off for half an hour. The following day, sheepishly, I went around the neighbours and I apologised, and all but one of them was very nice to me. The engineer came the next day, sure enough, shied up his ladders, said, I've replaced the box. We do a much more modern box now that doesn't do this. Well, how about you should have replaced it before it did it? Anyway, it was all to do with the extreme temperature. And ironically, the very thing that was supposed to allow me to sleep peacefully and securely in my bed that night, and for a few nights afterwards, kept me awake. Keeping awake is the key message of our Bible reading this first Sunday in Advent today. Today being the first Sunday in Advent, in the lectionary that many churches read, the gospel reading today is that reading that we shared earlier from Mark chapter 13. Seems a little out of place for Advent, but actually, in the church lectionary, today is the first day of the church year. And so they begin, rather than with the narratives of Jesus' birth, they begin with this passage of scripture. And what he was intended to do was to jolt the church out of a period of ordinariness, to start to think about fresh possibilities that are brought as God comes and steps into our world. If you actually look at the context for these chapters, or these verses from Mark chapter 3, you'll see that at the very beginning of the chapter, if you've got your Bible open, you'll see there that actually Jesus is walking out of the temple. He's walking out of the temple in Jerusalem with his disciples. And actually, this is Palm Sunday. Mark 13 is the day that he's entered Jerusalem, he's had the hosannas, and he's gone into the temple, he's uprooted the tables, and he's been teaching there in the temple. And as he leaves the temple, the disciples suddenly look up and they say, "Wow, what large stones, what huge buildings." Now, you've got to remember, most of his disciples are rural guys. They're not city dwellers. It's a bit like you and us. You and I going to a new capital city for the first time and seeing some of the magnificent buildings there. You go to Paris, you see the Eiffel Tower. Wow. You go into Notre Dame. Wow. You go to Barcelona. Wow. You go to New York. Gosh, wow. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're leaving the temple and they're saying to Jesus, "Wow, look at the stones. Look at this building." And Jesus cryptically says this in response. He doesn't say, "Yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they?" He says this: "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." That's what he says to them. He tells them disaster is coming. And that has quite an effect on the disciples. They're intrigued, and so they start this dialogue. They naturally know, well, when is this going to happen? What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? The theologian Ian Paul, when he's looking at Mark chapter 13, he remarks this. He says the big question concerning this section is actually whether it's about the fall of the temple and the suffering and disruption associated with it, bringing the Jewish world to an end and ushering in a new era, or whether it's about the end of the world and the return of Jesus. There is a strong interpretive tradition that it's the latter. You see, the Jewish temple would indeed be destroyed, if you know your history, in AD 70, under the Emperor Titus, the Romans took over Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. And literally, they just left a tiny part of the Western Wall left. And so that actually became a reality. As a result, the Jews fled Jerusalem and were scattered. So it was an end of an era for them. It was a marking of a new beginning. Mark's gospel wasn't written then. It wasn't like a newspaper report. It wasn't written the day after Jesus said these words. Mark would probably have written his gospel around AD 70. And so it's likely that Mark was using this story to help the early Christian church combat what was actually going on around them, to remind them of the hope that they have in Jesus, despite this apparent destruction going on. Hence, it was also likely to interpret it as referring to the return of Jesus in the second coming. If the temple was being destroyed around them, if life as they knew it was being destroyed, what better way to encourage them than to say, "Hey, have hope, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again." One of the key phrases that Jesus would use in that passage of scripture there in Mark 13 was at the back end. What did he use? Two words: keep awake. That's what he said. Keep awake. "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. So during this time of chaos, during this time of destruction, when the temple was falling around their ears, they were to stay awake. And what they were to do was to look for the signs of Jesus, the Son of Man, who would be their hope. And you know what? He's ours too. In the Church Times this week, there was an article by Callie Hammond, and she was talking about an old cartoon, an old Tom and Jerry cartoon that I remember well from my childhood. It was called Sleepy Tom, and you might remember it if you've watched Tom and Jerry as a kid as well. Tom had been out on the razz all night. He'd been out with his mates, and he rolled back into the house, and that lovely lady of the house, in her big voice, shouts, "Thomas!" Because Jerry's been running riot. And literally, she threatens Tom with either you catch this mouse or you're out on your ear. Trouble is, Tom's been out on the razz and Tom would like to go to sleep. And so while he's trying desperately to show that he's alert, he does different things to show that he's awake. He tries, first of all, to prop his eyelids open with matchsticks. It doesn't work. He tries to sellotape his eyelids open to the back of his head and they fall forward. Eventually, he decides, it might convince everybody if I actually draw eyes on my closed eyelids that I am actually awake. And it doesn't work. And eventually, the lady of the household realizes what's going on and she kicks him out. Callie Hammond, in her article, what she was saying when she was comparing this cartoon, she said these words: we need to reimagine the command to keep awake. When it comes to God, fake wakefulness will not do. I wonder how many Christians would claim to be awake and ready. Responding, available, there, ready, just as Jesus encouraged them to be in Mark 30, when actually they're trying desperately to keep everything propped open, sellotape on the back, even falseness. When it comes to God, false wakefulness will not do. You know, of course, what is the alternative to staying awake? Well, it's being asleep. And in Jesus' warning not to be found asleep, there's a real sense of caution, I feel, about becoming complacent or cynical. And I think given the realities of the world today, we can fall into the danger of becoming complacent or cynical by either thinking, everything's all right, what do we need to be awake for? Well, all's fine. Or we go the other way and we despair that it never will be okay, so what's the point? Instead, we are called, and this morning I call you to do the same. If you've fallen asleep in my meeting, I say, wake up. We are called to keep awake, looking for signs of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We are told to stay awake as a preparation for the coming of God's reign. And if we think of it this way, then staying awake becomes an act of hope and trust, not something that we have to do because we're fearful. My burglar alarm, I stayed awake because I was fearful it was going to go off again. God isn't calling us to be awake because we should fear something. God is calling us to be awake as an act of hope and trust. You see, Advent calls us to prepare for something that's much bigger than the yearly arrival of the Christmas tree, the presents, and Christmas itself. Advent's calling us to be awake for something bigger. Anna Chu, in a comment I read in one of her articles this week, says this: keep awake. It is a call of urgency and longing, but also a call of promise. There is hope. Things will not always be as they are. Something is coming that is even bigger than Christmas. So how do we actually demonstrate our hope for Christ's coming with alert anticipation? How do we keep awake? Where do we find hope in these difficult times? How can we see light breaking into our darkness? How do we remain aware of our life-giving connection to God, even when the circumstances of life try and distract us or separate us from God? How do we actually continue to wait when actually we've been waiting for 2,000 years already? Jesus is teaching over and over again when speaking up the future was these words, keep awake. Keep awake. Do you know what? I think the biggest temptation for the people of God in this waiting period that we're asked to be part of is not that false teachers will come, not that we'll be persecuted, not that we'll have division. It's simply that we'll grow weary and we'll give up of waiting. And so perhaps the best way for us to respond while waiting for God to surprise us is ask ourselves this question for Advent. And I want you to ask yourself this question just now. Wake up. Ask this question. What are you watching for? In your alertness, what are you actually watching for? St. Augustine, the great saint of the Christian church, said this, I fear the Lord who passes by. I fear the Lord who passes by. And what he actually meant here is that he feared that the Lord would pass by and he would not recognize him. It wasn't that he feared the Lord because he was powerful. He actually feared that the Lord would pass by him and he would not recognize him. I fear the Lord who passes by. You should keep awake because God never ceases to be at work. The Spirit is always doing a new thing. And I don't know about you, I don't want to miss any of it. And I wonder, do we try to recognize God's presence in our daily situations? Or are we distracted? Are we a little overwhelmed by other things? Too busy to look for God's presence? Because let's be honest, if we're not aware of his coming today amongst us just now, then we're highly unlikely to be prepared when he actually arrives at the end of time. If we can't see him today, what hope have we got when he comes at the end of time? So what are we watching for? What can we see? And so Advent comes to us very forcefully with a question, and I ask it of you in the same way I ask this question of me. What aspects of your life do you need a wake-up call? What aspects of your life do you need a wake-up call? What areas of your life are you neglecting or avoiding because of a spiritual slumber? What dark things in your life would you like to see reversed? Well, if you really want to wake up, if you really want to reverse these situations, then you need to invite Christ into your life. And what better time to do it than this beautiful season of waiting, of Advent? Jesus says to all of us, keep awake. Keep awake, because when it comes to God, fake wakefulness will not do. So now is the time to get to know Jesus better. He's not just a name. He's got to be a reality in our lives. He's got to be a friend. He's got to be somebody that we speak of. He's got to be somebody that we want to speak to and somebody that we speak from. We have to look at the world through his eyes and touch with his hands and hear with his ears. We've got to be awake and present to Christ in our own hearts. Friends, are you awake? Are you awake to the presence of Christ in your own heart. It's been a long time since Jesus first came, and we've been waiting a long time for him to come again. But how long we've got to wait is not really the issue. How awake we are is. How long? Nah. How awake we are? Yes. And our job is to stay conscious, to resist spiritual sleep, to stay alive to everything that God in life is bringing to us, so that we don't miss God when he comes. So therefore, on this first Sunday in Advent, let's do what Jesus says. Let's keep awake. Keep awake. Keep awake. Keep awake. Let's just reflect on that as we turn to just one verse of a lovely song. If we're going to be awake, we've got to allow him room. That's the whole message of our Advent theme this year. Prepare him room. And so we just say in our awakeness this morning, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Are you awake? Are you awake? May it be so this Advent, and may this Advent be a time when you can really say, do you know what? I'm going to wake to the presence of God in this world, in my midst, and I'm going to make him right at the center of who I am. I invite you to sing with me, just the first verse and chorus. We're not going to sing all the song, just the first verse and chorus. And as we sing together this morning, I say to you, keep awake. Keep awake. Can we have an introduction, Matthew, and then we'll pick up the verses. Again, because the chorus we need is that little verse that says, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Just the chorus again, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there. Close our eyes, and in the quietness, there's no music going to play. This is a busy month, probably already started to be really busy. This might be a welcome opportunity for a little bit of silence. And I ask those questions again to you. What are you watching for? Are you recognizing God's presence in daily situations? Are you distracted, overwhelmed by other things? What aspects of life need a wake-up call? If you truly want to wake up and reverse situations, we need to invite God in Christ into our life. Jesus says to us all, keep awake. No fake wakefulness. It's time to get to know Jesus better. Let him be a reality. Let him be someone we speak to, someone we speak of. Let's be awake and present to Christ in our hearts today. Gracious God, on this first Sunday in Advent, we thank you for sending Jesus. We also thank you for the wonderful hope that he's going to come again. That this is just part of it. That whilst we're waiting with anticipation to celebrate your birth on Christmas Day, we're also waiting with eager anticipation for you to come again. Humanity's been waiting a very long time, and we don't know when you are going to come again, but we just want to say, Lord, we want to be awake and ready to it. Awake and ready to the fact that you will come. So, Lord, help us to be watchful. Help us to look out for your presence in our daily situations. Help us not to get distracted and overwhelmed by other things, but let us see you. May each of us fear the Lord who passes by. And this Advent season, may instead we keep awake to all that you will be and will come to be in days to come. Amen.